All right, cool. We're live. So thank you very much for agreeing to want to sit down and talk with me and also get your history and your story sort of put on the record for the archive.
No problem.
You're number two. So now you know where you rank, I guess, in terms of William & Mary hip hop history.
Wow.
So I don't know if that, you know, perhaps that was not necessarily. You're not number one, but you're not number three, right?
Okay. Fair enough. I appreciate the honesty of not inflating me that I was number one. So.
That's no problem. All right. So I guess just to start, would you just mind sort of introducing yourself, you know, your name, rank, serial number, that sort of stuff?
Sure. My name is Raghav Valluri. I'm a senior here at William & Mary. I'm originally from Northern Virginia. I guess that's it.
Okay. What's your major?
I'm a government major.
Government major. Okay. Would you mind, so you said you grew up in Northern Virginia, that's where you hail from. Would you mind discussing, sketch a little background about growing up in Northern Virginia, your family's history a little bit as well?
Well, Northern Virginia is a nice place to grow up. I mean, it's a lot of people there have the typical suburbia fever. They're like really bored with it or whatnot, but I never had that. I had a lot of family that lived close by, good friends. It's all I really need, and if I really need some excitement, just going to DC. I tend to travel a lot, so I don't really I like it there.
Okay. And so when you say Northern Virginia, what was the name of the town?
Well, I was born in, like, Woodbridge.
Okay.
Then I lived in Herndon for a few years, and now I live in Annandale, but more Fairfax area.
Okay. So. Okay. Let's see. So, that's, I guess, good in terms of personal history. But now I want to sort of move on to section about personal history, your personal history vis-a-vis sort of hip-hop and hip-hop culture.
Yeah.
So the first one, what was your first memory of hip-hop?
Man, my first memory of hip-hop was when I was a lot younger. My older cousin used to play hip-hop. And the first song, like rap song even, that I even remembered liking was Still Fly by the Big Timers. And that was like mid-middle school maybe that I heard that. And there's nothing special about the song. It's just I just didn't have really any exposure to hip-hop, and it's just kind of the first thing that I jumped on that wasn't overplayed on the radio or something like that. So, yeah, that was it. And then I didn't really take listening to music really seriously until, like, later in high school when particularly a big influence for me was Lupe Fiasco. You know, when he came out, it was like, that's when I started really looking at the lyrics of hip-hop and and looking at his more than something to kind of play in the background while I'm doing homework, you know, taking music as art really seriously. And yeah, that was it.
So in the way that you sort of mentioned discuss starting to think about popular music and music in general as more of an art form and not just sort of background music, and it was hip-hop and Lupe Fiasco your sort of gateway into thinking about music broadly that way, or was Lupe Fiasco the sort of gateway into thinking about hip-hop as something more than just background noise?
You know, actually, it was a gateway to music as a whole broadly. You know, the most of the music I listened to before kind of, you know, before hip-hop and before I started taking all that seriously was just like whatever my parents listened to, you know, whether that be like, you know, 80s music or like, you know, Indian popular music, Indian classical music. Yeah, I mean, I always like recognized, especially in Indian classical music, because, you know, when we go to concerts and stuff, like, and we'd see people playing, I could clearly recognize it as art, but, you know. I should also mention that I learned piano for a while, for quite a while, from age like 6 to 14. But I was just never really diligent at practicing, and and I didn't really have the creative freedom in piano. Like, I was never good at composing music, so I never it was just kind of like my teacher gave me pieces and I did them and I just moved, moved past it. But it wasn't until hip hop that I you know, felt like I had something to say and contribute.
I mean, it's interesting that in a lot of ways you're sort of making the comparison between something as sort of formal and scripted as piano and learning to play a piece and that sort of tuning you out from music versus what you describe as a way to find your voice within hip-hop.
I don't want to say it tuned me out to music, you know. I think my piano experience was valuable. I mean, I like, I feel like I'm more musically inclined because of it. I mean, I like that I can read music and that's still useful to me today. And, you know, I have knowledge of chords and art, you know, all this, this kind of basic form of music training still helps when I'm trying to, like, produce or understand other people's productions and what makes a song good, you know. I just, it was valuable. It didn't turn me off at all.
Okay.
It just wasn't, it just, I did not have the spark or the skill or whatever you want to say to express myself creatively in piano, whether that was because I never got to a higher level where I was dexterous enough to make something interesting or what whatever, but that's what it was.
Okay, so then why do you think hip-hop was the sort of musical expression that, that broke you open in a way?
It was just entirely coincidence more than anything else. It started freshman year. So by freshman year, I was, you know,
of college. Okay.
By freshman year of college, I was pretty much listening mostly to hip hop. That was like what I enjoyed listening to. And, you know, I remember eagerly anticipating Lupe's Lasers, stuff like that. And so what happened was me and a couple friends discovered that, well, we kind of discovered the SWEM Media Center here, and we went in and saw the studios. We were like, wow, this is really cool. We could just schedule something and just come in here and do something, even if we have no idea what's going on. And I wasn't really daunted by it because I had some basic experience with audio editing and stuff like that, because you just, like, you know, doing, you know, international nights in high school and, you know, like, splicing together songs for dances. I did a little bit of dancing in high school, so, you know, based on that, arranging mixes and stuff, working with Audacity, you know, just for school projects, cut and paste. It wasn't a big deal to me. So, you know, and so one of my friends said that he wouldn't mind producing the beat and singing on it. And then I had another friend that I just, like, I freestyled with for funsies. And so, yeah, three of us just went into the studio and just made something. And that was the moment where I was like, okay, I can do this. I mean, it's like making music is not something that's reserved for... You know, I mean, like, I think most people generally have that barrier, you know, like, whenever I say, hey, I freestyle, they say, almost the first reaction I get from 90% of people is, wow, I could never do that, you know, and that was, and just that coincidence of doing it just broke that barrier for me in my mind that separated me from quote-unquote musicians, you know. It's not that I felt like I was really good, but it was felt that I could be a musician, whether... You know, for me, not necessarily to be great, but just I could do it. It became possible somehow.
And do you? Well, is there perhaps something inherent within sort of the history of hip hop culture that, in some ways, allowed you to? I mean, is there something about hip hop itself as an American culture, or, you know, in the history of hip-hop? Well, not that you had to necessarily be attuned to the history of hip-hop, but just that something about it allows for jumping over that barrier.
Yeah, it's the poetry part of it. Mm-hmm. I'll say that straight. I mean, it was, you know, when it comes to singing, you know, there's that intimidation factor of, hey, I'm not classically trained, and I don't want to auto-tune, I don't want to be, you know, inauthentic. But, you know... And this is not to diminish the skill it takes to rap, you know. I'm not saying that it's definitely something that's easier to get started, because a bad rap does not, like, a bad singer will physically cause you pain. I mean, they will, like, for me it does anyway. I mean, when I hear something that's really off pitch, I'm like, I'm putting my hands over my ears, I'm screeching. When I hear bad rap, it's just like, just bad poetry, at least, you know. It's not something that gives me this, like, visceral negative physical reaction, and that, I guess, made it easier to start doing, and that way it's more accessible, and it's always felt like poetry to me, you know. It was never just what it was.
so in terms of, I mean, what are some of the reactions in terms of friends and family to your passion?
Just encouragement. Mm-hmm. Total encouragement. I mean, it's funny, you know, it's like, it is entertaining because, you know, some people, they come to you know, college and like, oh, I want to pick up an instrument, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, like, they'll just come to college and they pick up guitar or something. Like, oh, that's cool. You know, but it was weird for me when I came to college and I just, this happened to be my hobby. I was like, mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. I want to do hip hop. And it's like, you always get these, it's like weird look. It's like almost like, because, and this is something that bothers me about, mm-hmm. about a lot of hip hop. And it's like, the thing itself is commercial by nature, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when I say I'm a rapper, people look at me like, what are you trying to get a record deal or
right,
something?
Right,
like,
right,
what
right.
are you, you know, what are you? And I'm like, no, I'm just trying to play guitar on the quad in my way, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's that to it. I kind of got lost in my answer. I don't forget, remember the question.
Well, I mean it's interesting to bring up the reaction of folks. I mean, I think two things are very interesting here that want to sort of mine a little bit more. You mentioned the sort of the poetry of rapping, of that form of expression within hip-hop culture versus singing, where you don't have to worry about whether or not you can carry a tune or you have a singing voice or you're trained without auto-tune. So you made the mention of auto-tune and also inauthenticity, but then also just made a comment about talking to people about rapping and they're like, well, are you going to get a record deal? And also acknowledging the fact that the commercial appeal of hip-hop and rap is very much a part of it.
Yeah.
So, I guess, long-winded way of asking the question is, how do you navigate the idea of authenticity versus inauthenticity that a lot of people like to talk about and think about in terms of hip-hop and rap music?
I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel what I'm doing is authentic, and I'm going to get those looks because that's the nature of what people think about hip-hop, and if that's mm-hmm. what they think about mm-hmm. it, that's what mm-hmm. they think about it. I don't... Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like, as among my friends and family, like, once they listen to my music, whether it's... Or listen to me do what I do, it's... Whether it's good or not, they at least see that I'm doing it for the sake of doing it. They see that side of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then, you know, they tend to be more supportive than they were skeptical at first.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so... how would you define hip-hop then?
Oh man, I'm really bad at this stuff. Yeah, it's definitely a cohesive culture. It's something that can't be tied down to just the music, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's hip-hop clothing, there's fashion, there's an attitude to it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
breakers and all those mm-hmm. guys, beatboxers, mm-hmm. they're all definitely hip-hop. I would never take that away from them. It's a culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's a culture that has its own music and has its own ideas and fashions, and yeah, I think it's culture. That's the best way I'd define mm-hmm. hip hop. It is a type of culture.
Mm-hmm. So, how do you view yourself then in terms of hip hop history and culture? Like, where's your sense of your own personal identity within this cohesive culture?
I mean, I think hip hop is bigger than me. My only thing with it is just I like it, and I just do it. I don't feel like I have a role or anything. Mm-hmm. I just feed off it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we might, as I tend to do, I like to circle back and stuff like that, and also this is part of just sort of like the audio coding, this next little chunk, we want to talk about a little bit about sort of William and Mary culture, campus culture, and hip-hop,
sure.
to see what there is and what there isn't, mm-hmm. you know? So the first thing, what comes to mind, what comes to mind when you hear the phrase hip hop at William and Mary?
I don't think our school has particularly strong hip hop culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that doesn't really mean much to me. Hip hop at William and Mary. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just think there are people here that do it, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. it's not really part of the campus identity as a whole, nor mm-hmm, do I think mm-hmm. it represents a sort of anything else within the campus.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, well, I guess, well, why? I mean, why is it something that is perhaps not a part of campus culture? You know, as a...
You know, I think speaking really frankly here, I think demographics has a lot to do with it. Mm-hmm. A lot to do with it. That's really what it comes down to.
Okay, and so, and in terms of demographics, what do you mean?
I mean, this school's really, really white.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's really what I mean. I'm not making any accusations anything.
It's right, just, right, right.
Statistically, that's just what it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, historically, that's just how it is.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. So, in terms of then circling back to an issue of sort of hip hop and of authenticity in hip hop, in your mind, is it possible for the college to develop, or do you think it would be possible sometime in the future, or whatever, for the campus culture to have hip hop more firmly established as a part of campus culture?
I think it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a really weird way, we have a good history the past few years of bringing really quality hip hop acts here. I mean, we had Wale and Kanan, which were awesome. We had the Roots. I mean, the Roots are legends, and it was so crazy to me that they were here, and I loved it. I loved their second. I mean, we had Big Sean, who I personally, you know, you can have your opinions on. I personally think he's more on the commercial side of things, and I don't hear poetry when I hear Big Sean.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's a matter of opinion. But you know, I think it's possible. I think enough students here listen to hip hop as a whole, because of the place hip hop holds in popular music at large today. And you know, as much as I complain about being commercialized, that just means it's everywhere,
right,
in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's definitely potential. It's just going to take a lot of people, you know, working to make it bigger and get themselves out there and involve enough people and get them really involved, not just like, I'm going to go out to this concert, but hey, I'm going to do this because I like this music. I'm not just going out to like drink and have a good time. I'm going to this concert because I value this as art. And you know, it's definitely doable. I mean, if their leaders is on this campus, that'll push it forward.
Now, what do you think the impact would be on campus culture if hip hop were to take a prominent place?
Man, that's a tough question. I really don't know how to answer that.
I mean, would campus feel different?
I don't know. It's such a weird thing to think about.
Right, right, right.
You know, like, it's almost an incompatible identity to me. Based on my experiences, I hope that's not actually the case or anything.
Right, right.
It's just, man, I don't know. Like, because I've never lived in, like, you know, hip-hop to me has always been, like, I've been an idiosyncrasy, you know, an idiosyncrasy amongst, you know, my friends. I don't have any other friends at home that do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have too many friends here that I made outside of doing this that take hip hop as seriously as I do. I've always been kind of a part of it, so I've never really been in like a city or in a place with hip hop culture there. So I really couldn't tell you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So bringing it back more to more sort of campus culture and things that we can nail down. You mind talking about what types of hip hop culture have existed or has existed during your time here? Like, not and perhaps organizations, different things that you're involved in, and also stuff that you've heard about.
Okay, well, I think the student hip hop organization here, they do a pretty good job bringing pretty interesting acts here, like. I can't name off the top of my head, but I know we've had some pretty good local acts come down here based on their influence, and they've been willing to work with me on cross promotion, and I
on what was it?
And like just, you know, cross promotion
oh,
for both
cross promotion.
Of our
oh, okay. I thought.
Both of our clubs and just trying to serve the purpose of hip hop as a whole.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you know, I think they've been good about it. And my organization is separate from that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we're hoping to get bigger and we're trying to make moves this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can say.
Well, do you want to? Would you mind sort of sketching discussing the history of your organization?
Yeah, it was started by Mo Torabinejad. He was a super senior when he started the club. That was that was 2 years ago.
Okay.
And I just heard about it from a random Facebook event. A friend of his invited me,
mm-hmm.
and it just sounded like something. You know, because the year before freshman year, I'd already made a song
mm-hmm.
with my friends,
mm-hmm.
and then I made a song myself after that by myself. And so this just seemed like something I'd be into, and I just came by and fell in love with freestyling,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and stuck around. It's a very short history. Last year I ran it pretty much single-handedly, but you know, I don't want to make that sound like bragging. It's just standing outside,
right.
waiting for people to come by.
Right.
Not much history there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something Mo wanted to do, and he felt passionate about freestyling and hip hop. As I told you before, he had been involved with other
mm-hmm.
Kind of related organizations like IPACS.
Mm-hmm.
I think, actually, don't quote me on anything other than IPACS. I knew he was involved with IPACS. I don't know if he was.
Okay, and what was IPACS?
IPACS is like a poetry. They're mostly a poetry based
okay.
organization around here.
And it's a campus group.
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, I worked with them last year. We did like a small little concert.
Okay. Okay.
They actually, yeah, you should talk to them. They also have some hip-hop roots.
Okay. That sounds good. So, and the, for the record, name of the group, name of your group, and also explain the significance of the name.
The name of the group is The Circle.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty self-explanatory. It's called The Circle because, you know, a cipher is essentially a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Mo thought it would be a better name than the group that ciphers. So,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
not too much to it.
Okay, so in terms of then actually in the classroom, classwork, coursework, have you taken any courses where hip hop was the subject of the course, or has it come up
No.
in any courses that you've taken?
No, the closest I can get to is I'm taking a computer music class right now,
mm-hmm.
and we might get to some stuff later,
mm-hmm.
I don't know,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
I have no other class that even tangentially relates to hip-hop.
Mm-hmm. And is that, and during your time here, has that been the case in terms of not just your own plotting out your own schedule, but hearing what other folks are taking as well?
Well, I know that there was my freshman year, there was a pretty good seminar in hip-hop music,
mm-hmm.
and...
Was it through the music department?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I just remember it was a freshman seminar you could take on hip-hop, and...
And what year was that?
That was my... So I'm a senior now, 3 years ago.
Okay.
It might still be going, I don't know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I know there's American popular music, which mm-hmm. I try to get into for a GER something, 4A,
mm-hmm.
before I fulfilled it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I know there are some courses that touch on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And, okay, so, let's see, we talked about that, we talked about campus organization, we talked about that, we talked about how you got involved, the history. Okay, so, you know, just, I mean, obviously, we talked about this a little bit before, and I came out, took some pictures, but you mind describing, sort of the activities and events that Circle does.
Okay, well, we do mostly we just have, you know, we have ciphers. We meet the same place every day, every Monday 9:30, and the actual activities that take place usually they vary wildly based on the people there.
Mm-hmm.
It's always something hip hop based or focused. You know, but if we have a bunch of freestylers, then we'll try to do like word games. Like a freestyler will just start going, and then you have to throw words at him, and he has to incorporate that into the rhyme. Or we try like telling a story, and then you, you get four bars, and the next person continues the story. You know, just like this challenging stuff to try to you know exercise and you know see what people can come up with. If we don't. Otherwise, I mean, mostly, usually, the basic activity is just jamming. It's just like whoever's... We've had instruments before. We've had... sometimes we just, like, play... So we've had, we have people bring out speakers, but sometimes it's just out of, like, cell phones. You know, someone plays an instrumental and we just go on it. My favorite times are when we have as many people, as many different talents as possible. Because then the whole thing can be sustained by like just an hour long jam, which is just like, you know, beatboxers will lay down a beat, you know, a freestyler will just gradually, you know, spit a verse on that, and then you know all that time like singers might have been humming in the background, and then they'll do a hook between to get you know, and then after that hook, you know, it'll come out like a song, you know, and I've been shocked. I've been like really shocked at the quality of music and poetry that's come out of what we've done just out of thin air, you know, and that's what keeps me doing it. That's, that's really what it is. It's just amazing to me. Freestyling, not just freestyling, but, you know, true unplanned artistic expression, you know, like back in the days, you know, and this is a bit of art history, like with the futurists or with, people that felt like improvised art's the most purest form of art. I don't know about that, all that, but I, you know, I'm in that similar vein where I really do feel like I'm just putting myself out there, and I find it very, very cathartic.
Right, you know, sense of automatic writing and stuff.
Yes,
like
automatic writing. Exactly. That's what I was looking for. I knew there was a term about that I was looking for. It's a lot like automatic writing, and how those guys, you know, thought that you could peer into the center of your soul. Again, I'm not saying it's anything that dramatic. But it has real, real inherent value for expressing what's in your heart.
And in your experience, in your experience, you sort of tapped into a really nice and a way of artistic self-expression, right? In terms of, I thought I saw some sort of animal or something. But so, in terms of, you know, talking about this idea of, even automatic writing, but an able of exposing some part of yourself, being cathartic. How has your life and your life in hip hop with hip hop impacted who you are as a person?
I feel like it's made me better with words as a whole, and speaking, and I find myself looking for words less often. I find myself, it really does fundamentally change the way that I my daily life, definitely, because I can't sit down and write lyrics. Like while I do freestyle, I do written stuff as well, but I never sit down and I write. It's just like I'll be in daily life, and I'll just like hear some wordplay or some you know, expression, or my friend will say something stupid, and I'm like, oh damn, that might be something clever, and I just immediately write it down. And then when I need to write something, you know, when I want to sit down and make music, then I just listen to the beat, and I just put my phone on the table and just scroll through and kind of put that down and string based my basic wordplay together along a story or narrative, whatever the beat demands, the mood or the tone. So I guess what I'm trying to say is it's changed the way I even, you know, epiphanies. Most of my epiphanies are usually wordplay based. I feel like it's made me funnier too. Like just quick wit. Like I think there's a lot of quick wit that's conveyed to you when you can. It's one thing to be able to like just talk for lengths at a time.
Right.
But if you can do it while rhyming, you know, and while actually trying to say something coherent, that improves you as a person, I feel.
Okay, so we did talk about how white this campus is.
Yeah.
In terms of its racial demographics. So in terms of, curious about how you feel about your own relationship to, it may be something too that hasn't necessarily cropped up, but in terms of your own relationship with the sort of racial history of hip hop.
Yeah.
Traditionally it's thought of as sort of an African American and Latino Latino art form from a impoverished part of the nation. So how does that square with growing up in a decidedly different sort of class and racial milieu?
Yeah, it's funny, right? That's part of what comes with territory too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not only, when I tell people I freestyle, it's not only the look of you think you're good enough to get a record deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the look of what you think you're black or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like you think, like there's this inherent street cred that you almost have to
mm-hmm.
do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even let that bother me. I do it because I like it. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I don't pretend that it brings me closer to, you know, the ghetto, quote unquote,
mm-hmm.
or whatnot. Or I don't feel more urban because
mm-hmm.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens to be an art form that came out of there
mm-hmm.
that I instantly clung to. But yeah, no, there's definitely a racial element to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never been ostracized because of it. I don't really know if that answered your question.
No, it does, and it's a question that sort of hesitated to ask in terms of this, but
it's an important question.
Yeah.
It's a really important question because, you know, to ignore the question would be short-sighted because
mm-hmm.
that is how a lot of people think about it,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think there's anything wrong with talking about it.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So let's talk about, sort of go back to Northern Virginia as well. And Northern Virginia and D.C. has a hip-hop culture,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Right, Wale comes out of there, right?
Yeah, and Logic, shout out to Logic.
So what is your relationship to that sort of neck of the woods that you hail from in its own hip-hop culture?
You know, I don't think there was any real influence from that area.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't actively involved in...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, maybe if I lived in D.C., maybe if I lived in
mm-hmm.
a more urban area, I would have had that idea, that feeling of I'm in a place where hip-hop permeates the way... You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've never felt like I lived in a hip-hop culture,
mm-hmm.
even being so close to D.C.
Mm-hmm. So, many folks, specifically sort of scholars and academics, really like to talk about the localized nature of hip-hop or the local experience.
Yeah, yeah.
But it seems that in a lot of ways, your experience with hip-hop is kind of the opposite.
Yeah, it's like it's almost purely intellectual in a weird way of saying it. It's not that I felt that I you know, have become more urban or become more black or become more anything because
mm-hmm.
of hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like hip-hop shaped me. I feel like I shaped hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, or rather, I use hip-hop
mm-hmm.
as a tool.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I meant
mm-hmm.
to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, but I think it'd be naive to say it hasn't affected me at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably made me, I definitely find myself thinking more about those, you know, those kind of issues, social
mm-hmm.
issues
mm-hmm.
that I relate to hip hop and, you know, the kind of you know, racism that happens in daily life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of see that through that lens sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of so in a lot of ways you're speaking of a social component that goes along with the music.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
fair to say? Okay. So we talked about, obviously, Northern Virginia a little bit. Now we want to talk about this sort of stretch, stretch of the woods. So living here, you know, going on 4 years now, and your experience with your own personal journey within hip hop. Is there a sense of the sort of Hampton Roads area that we live in having its own hip-hop culture, having sort of folks that hail from here, a style that you can, that you are aware of or that you are exposed to in any sort of ways or you heard someone talking about?
See, I'm bad about this because most of the time that I have for music, mm-hmm. I usually spend on my own music. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really, really bad about getting new music, especially not popular stuff. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, like, most of the stuff that I get is, like, either, you know, YouTube surfing or mm-hmm. related to something I got on Pandora or whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not as involved with the hip-hop culture as, like, hey, you know, I have a friend who lives in Hampton who has, like, you know, mm-hmm. I don't... Mm-hmm. I'm not really in touch with the hip-hop scene as a large, and that's just because mm-hmm. of me.
You're now... So, okay, so that being said, though, so as a, you know, as a musician, as an actual musical artist, crafting your own music, would you consider your music to be Hampton Roads hip-hop?
No. I don't know what my style is, man. Like, I just do what I do. I don't want to put that out there and have some, like, real, you know, put that on the record and have some, like, Hampton Roads artists come up to me like, that ain't us. You know, I don't want to do that.
Okay. Maybe down the line.
Maybe it'll turn out, you know, if I listen to more local music around here, maybe I'll find some weird correlations and say to myself, oh, okay, maybe, I have subconsciously picked up on these cues, whether it's because of the people I've met around here or whatever, but I can't say that right now.
Okay, so, government, correct?
Yeah.
Where does hip-hop fit in with your government studies?
Oh, just nowhere. I mean, I compartmentalize my life just totally.
Okay.
I mean, that's nothing.
All right. That's an honest answer, and I like it. Okay, so, I mean, we discussed a little bit about the way that... Actually, this sort of goes back to sort of regional hip-hop history. Now, I know, we talked about not really searching out new music, you know, making your own. But at the same time, are there, venues that you've heard of in the area, or venues that you've performed at, or you'd like to, or, you know, record stores, or any other sort of landmarks that have hip-hop connotation that you've either gone to, or, you know, you've become aware of in some way within this area?
No, I'm kind of a recluse, I'm sorry.
No problem. How about Northern Virginia? Are there any things that's like names or places that just sort of pop into your mind?
When I think hip-hop?
Yeah. Or that you know, or that, you know, you read about or heard in passing or whatever that has some sort of resonance with hip-hop.
Nope.
Okay. What do you think hip-hop's place is in American culture and history?
I don't know, but an important one. I think if you understand, you know, if you're really a part of hip-hop and you understand where it's coming from, for me, I just like doing different things and getting out to different places. And so, like, hip-hop is so far away from the, you know, relatively gentrified, you know, place where I live even, you know, the area, the demographics around here that I just feel like it's given me perspective, like, real perspective. On the way a large part of this country thinks and really feels about a lot of issues, you know? And if you understand it, you understand a part of America. Mm-hmm. You really do. In a way that maybe otherwise you wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And in that way, it's valuable. Mm-hmm. I don't know that hip-hop is the most important emerging culture. I don't know about all that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, whether you're an anthropologist or a sociologist or, like, American studies major, you know, whatever it is, I think if you really want an accurate picture of American society, you have to understand hip-hop. Mm-hmm. I think that's the case.
Mm-hmm. And then, last sort of question. I'm curious about, what place do you think hip-hop will have in your life as you get older?
I don't see a time when I stop making music. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of become a de facto outlet for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I view hip-hop in the same way, kind of, that I view even playing sports in a weird way. Mm-hmm. Like, it's something I enjoy doing, something that I never see myself stopping. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's something that's you know, it might change as I get older. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I may move from basketball and, you know, and football to golf, maybe. Mm-hmm. But in that same way, but I don't see it as a fad or anything. I see it as my art form of choosing, and I'm proud that it's my art form, and I want to represent it as best I can, and I don't think it's going to change.
Okay. Well, good. I mean, we were able to cover, I think, a lot of territory and hit on just about everything in a, a really surprising economical way, which interviews on... always tend to be that way. I'm a little shaggy dog when it comes to that. But, so, I mean, that's really what I wanted to talk about today and ask you. So that's my end of it. Is there, is there something that I perhaps either glossed over or neglected to touch on, or something that you would just like to add, or that came up that you would like to talk about?
I mean, the biggest thing when I the biggest feeling about hip-hop I have right now is about, it's something we touched on earlier, and I think that's the most important thing I have to say about hip-hop as a whole, as far as the way people see it. And I feel like a lot of practitioners of hip-hop themselves, people that get paid, you know, a lot of money to do this kind of stuff, don't see it as art. Mm-hmm. And that makes me really sad. Mm-hmm. Whether it's an outsider that's going to, you know, listen to this interview or whatnot, from hip-hop or whatever it is, I feel like hip-hop is one of the most egalitarian arts. It provides, as a culture, it provides a very egalitarian stage for art, an artistic expression. Whether you can draw and you like drawing graffiti, as illegal as that is, whether you if you can't sing, you can at least start making basic poetry and start rapping. You know, you can, you know, without breaking the glass of your neighbor's windows. If you know, you don't even need to be good with words, you can beatbox and make some like good artistic music. And in that way, I think hip-hop really is an art of the people, you know. And that's what makes it such a big deal, you know. And that's why it's so important.
Well, good. I think that's a great way to end it.